Animals Today Radio is made possible in part by a generous grant from International Society for Animal Rights, ISARonline.org. Animals Today, your home for serious talk about animals. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. I recently saw an article written by the executive director of the Southwest Environmental Center, Kevin Bixby, titled "Wildlife Killing Contests Should Be Outlawed in the West." And along with the article is a photo of the author in the desert with numerous carcasses of coyotes on the ground behind him. Coyotes which have been killed a few weeks earlier and left there as part of the contest in which prizes were offered. Incredibly, such contests are legal in most states. So what is the history of such contests, and how can they be justified now? I'm happy to welcome Camilla Fox, founder and executive director, Project Coyote, a group strongly opposed to wildlife killing contests. Welcome to the program, Camilla.
Thank you, Lori. Great to be with you.
Camilla, just to get us up to speed, give us a little background on the coyote. Tell us about their behavior, their range, how they live and eat, what's their role in the ecosystem.
Well, I could expound on that for hours, but the coyote is native to North America, so unlike wolves and foxes that exist on other continents, the coyote is evolved on this continent, and it's actually one of the reasons why I chose the coyote as the icon for our organization, not only because they're unique to North America, but also because they are the most persecuted, maligned, and misunderstood native carnivore in North America, and we estimate that at least 500,000 are killed every year, which averages to about one per minute. So, in terms of their biology, ecology, I'd actually refer people to our website, projectcoyote.org, for more background information. But they're an amazingly adaptable and resilient animal, and it's one of the reasons why they live in every U.S. state now, because they have expanded their range, largely in response to our efforts to extirpate their greatest competitor, which is the gray wolf, and also in response to our changing the landscape and denuding the landscape of trees, opening up habitat that was more conducive to coyotes. So coyotes now live in every U.S. state except Hawaii, and they have proven to be incredibly adaptable. So they live with us in cities and rural areas and pretty much every ecosystem.
Camilla, tell us about your organization, Project Coyote. How long has it been in existence, and what does it do?
We have been around since 2008, and we're based in Northern California, Marin County, and we're a national nonprofit. Our mission is to promote coexistence between people and wildlife, and we do this really through education, science, and advocacy. We very much believe that if we can shift the way we view and treat coyotes, we can shift the way we view and treat other predators. And many people don't know that we really have been waging war against predators in this continent since we stepped foot on the continent, as far back as the early 1600s. And it was Lewis and Clark that encountered the first coyote out in west of the Mississippi in early 1600s. And as we viewed the large carnivores on the eastern seaboard, the wolves and mountain lions and bears, as a threat to livestock and to the species that humans hunted for game, we viewed the coyote as a threat. And we have since been really waging war against not just coyotes, but all these predators, and hence why many of them have been extirpated in their original range. So really, as an organization, we're trying to shift the way that we live with these predators, and also that we need to recognize how important having large carnivores on the landscape is to healthy ecosystems, and why our own health depends on living with these animals, having them in the ecosystem, and how we can do that better.
Very well stated. Camila, so about the wildlife killing contests, what is the history of them? Why do they exist, and how are they conducted?
Well, interestingly, they originated in California, Texas, and Arizona, and they started as what we call, or not what we call, what they call calling contests, and calling contests refer to devices that are used to essentially lure these animals in. So it's a device that records, plays a recording of a distressed animal or a wounded young animal. And so essentially what these people do is they kill the animals for prizes and fun. And unfortunately, this is legal in most states, and they receive prizes for killing the most animals or the largest animals. Mm. And most people have no idea that this is going on across North America. And we helped to expose this about 2 years ago. There was a controversial killing contest targeting coyotes in Northern California. And we work to get this out to the media, to get this out to the public, and also to demonstrate how not only ethically and morally repugnant this is, but also the threat that it poses to non-target animals. And at the time, OR7, also known as Journey, the one lone gray wolf who was traversing up in Northern California, was in the range where this particular killing contest was going to take place. And so we brought attention to the killing contest and focused on this particular wolf that was also endangered to bring attention and awareness to the fact that this is going on throughout California. And I'm excited to relay that we became the first state to actually prohibit these contests after, at that very meeting before the Fish and Game Commission, we put forth a petition to close the loopholes on this practice. And this past December, the Fish and Game Commission voted to prohibit the awarding of prizes and inducements for killing not just coyotes, but a whole host of other animals that are killed in these killing contests. So California set the trend. We're trying to ban them in other states. And you mentioned Kevin Bigsby. We've been working with his group and several other organizations in New Mexico to ban the practice. That effort started with a legislative endeavor this past January. And while we made it through the Senate, unfortunately it died in the House Agricultural Committee, which really reflects what we're up against, and that is certain factions that not only enjoy killing animals for fun and prizes, but also an agricultural community that views these animals as varmints. And I'm not saying the agricultural community across the board, because we actually have predator-friendly ranchers who are on our advisory board who recognize the importance of having predators on their ranch lands and recognize that they help to, for example, reduce the rodent population. But unfortunately, the agricultural community in North America really holds a stranglehold over wildlife policies in the U.S. And so that's what we're up against and what we really saw in New Mexico.
Yeah, I find just hunting plain appalling, and this is just disgusting, these killing contests. Do the stated reasons for having the killing contests, Camila, stand up to scientific scrutiny?
Absolutely not. And in fact, our California Fish and Game Commission asked us to counter the arguments that were being put forth by organizations like the California Farm Bureau, the Cattlemen's Association. And these arguments included that killing contests somehow help to mitigate conflicts between predators and livestock, and that killing contests help to reduce the number of coyotes and other predators. So we took that on, and our Project Coyote Science Advisory Board, which includes some of the most preeminent scientists and conservation biologists in the nation, basically tore those arguments apart. And the commission was very impressed with their arguments, and I think that science-based approach really helped us, partially because we were talking with our commission many of whom are oriented towards a science-based approach, and also because we were really able to cut through the myths and the spurious arguments that were being put forth by the opposition. And we've used those same arguments in the other states where we're targeting this practice, including New Mexico, Nevada, and a whole host of other states are starting to look at this practice. And our real hope is that, like cockfighting and dogfighting, which have been banned ultimately in the U.S. after people decided that this was just morally unacceptable, we hope that we can bring an end to these abhorrent, barbaric killing contests.
Very good. Don't go away. More with Camilla Fox, Executive Director of Project Coyote. You're listening to Animals Today.
As temperatures climb, please remember to never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute on a warm day with the windows cracked and in the shade. The temperature inside a car can climb up in a matter of minutes, and it's enough to kill your pet. If you love your pet, leave them at home or with someone you trust. Keep them cool, comfortable, and alive. And if you see a dog or other pet in a car, you may only have a moment to save their life. Here are a couple of steps that you should remember. Make an announcement in the store or business the car is parked nearest to, and call the police department or animal control right away. Remember, it only takes a minute or two on a hot day to kill an animal left inside a car. Your swift action can save a life. Dogs are unable to cool themselves the way people can. Never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute.
This message is sponsored by Advancing the Interests of Animals. You can check them out at aianimals.org. That's the letter A, aianimals.org.
That's the sound of a dog whose vocal cords were cut just to stifle her voice. It's called devocalization, and it's done to cats as well. Devocalized animals rasp and wheeze, cough and gag the rest of their lives. Some are rendered mute. And for what? So a commercial or hobby breeder can keep many animals without having to listen to them. So show dogs will be quiet in transit between shows or in the ring. So an irresponsible pet owner can leave a dog alone for hours every day. Animals Today joins with Coalition to Protect and Rescue Pets in saying shame on anyone who would have a dog or cat devocalized, and shame on the vets who perform this inhumane, unnecessary surgery for them. Please speak out against devocalization of dogs and cats. Use your voice. Protect theirs.
This message is sponsored by Advancing the Interests of Animals. You can check them out at aianimals.org.
Here's the problem. Security systems are expensive and you pay month after month for peace of mind. Well, forget about it. The solution? The Activator Security System, the spy versus spy. This recently declassified military technology is awesome. You plug the Activator into any wall outlet of your house and listen to this. In 30 seconds, it scans your house. It knows every window, every floor, every door. It's like, Scotty, put the shields up. Your house now has shields. Then you plug in a light, a stereo, a tele, anything that will turn on when someone touches the door or the window. Anybody touches a port of entry of your house, your doors, your window, whatever you've plugged into the security system, the Activator turns on. Imagine that. The guy's rattling your door. The lights turn on. The stereo turns on. Where do you think that guy's going? He's out of there. Also, when you come home late at night, put your own key in the door, the light turns on for you. It stays on for 3 minutes, and then you don't touch it. It starts to secure you. First, it welcomes you home, and then it secures you. No codes to put in, no monthly fees to pay. The Activator Security System's your solution. Normally, the Activator Security System's $80, but today, the deal of the week, $59.99. You heard me right. Also, the first 50 callers, we're going to get a second one for free. You buy one, you get one free. That's $160 worth of stuff, still only $59.99. Call 1-888-877-0490. That's 1-888-877-0490. Or go to mycoolgadgets.com. That's mycoolgadgets.com. So call right now, 1-888-877-0490, and ask for your two activators, buy one, get one free, still only $59.99. mycoolgadgets.com.
You're listening to America's Talk Radio Network, where America talks.
Welcome back. We're speaking to Camilla Fox, founder and executive director of Project Coyote. Camilla, now there's some brand new happenings to share with my listeners. Mendocino County officials agreed today to suspend the renewal of the county's contract with Wildlife Services. Can you give us a little background on the story?
Yes. Yeah, so Wildlife Services, which is a bit of a euphemism, they're formerly known as Animal Damage Control. This is an agency under the U.S. Department of Agriculture. And essentially what their mission is to control conflicts between wildlife and livestock or agricultural interests. What that has translated to is that more than 2.7 million animals are killed every year by this agency at taxpayer expense. Their latest statistics just were posted on Friday with that 2.7 million animal figure. And what we did in Mendocino was we, with a coalition of organizations, challenged this agency's practices. And what we did was we challenged it under the California Environmental Quality Act. And we said that the practices and the program do not adhere to the standards under the California Environmental Quality Act, essentially questioning whether they had done the proper review, which we argued they had not done the proper review to look at the impacts of killing so many animals to the environment, to individual animals, things that the CEQA, or California Environmental Quality Act, require. And so as a result of that lawsuit, the county came back and essentially, through a settlement agreement, agreed that they would carry out a full-blown review of the impacts of their program on the environment, on wildlife, on non-target animals, and that they would also consider non-lethal alternatives. And for us, this is a huge, big win. It's an initial win. It's an initial first step. But the fact that we are essentially pressuring them, forcing them to do a full-blown review of the impacts of their program and then consider non-lethal alternatives is very, very big. So part of this outcome is that I'll be doing a presentation on behalf of our coalition before the Mendocino County Board of Supervisors about non-lethal alternatives. I'll be referencing and referring to a non-lethal program that we have here in Marin County, which is our Project Coyote's home base, that is a non-lethal alternative to Wildlife Services. Our county essentially booted Wildlife Services out in 2000 as a result of controversy over the lethal non-selective methods they were using in the county that were killing not just target animals, including bobcats, foxes, coyotes, badgers, raccoons, but also non-target animals, which is common. That's one of the concerns by conservation and animal protection organizations, is that this organization not just kills 2.7 million target animals, but many, many non-target animals, including pets and endangered and threatened species. So the win today in Mendocino is huge. It's precedent-setting, and it's a victory that we hope we can emulate elsewhere.
Camilla, in February, a lawsuit was filed by five conservation groups, including Project Coyote, over the U.S. Department of Agriculture's failure to analyze and disclose the impact of its wildlife services in Idaho. What exactly is being alleged, and what does the suit seek to do?
Well, it's a similar argument as we're making in Mendocino, and that is that the agency has not done the kind of necessary review of the impacts of its program on wildlife and on the environment. So that is a similar approach, but here in California, we're using the California Environmental Quality Act. In Idaho, we're using other federal acts. And we're also challenging the actions of this agency on public lands. These are lands that belong to all of us. So, you know, collectively with this coalition of conservation and animal protection organizations, we're really challenging the practices of this agency that has run roughshod over North America's wildlife for, you know, since at least 1931. And 1931 was when Congress passed the Animal Damage Control Act, which essentially authorized the Secretary of Agriculture to promulgate any method deemed necessary to control wildlife. And what that has translated into is this agency that has really, at the behest of agribusiness and ranchers, used a whole host of indiscriminate tools to kill wildlife, and that's native and non-native wildlife, and as I said, largely at the behest of agribusiness and private ranchers at taxpayer expense. And I should mention that, because it's a huge amount of money that goes in to subsidize this industry that really tailors and provides a service to a narrow special interest group.
And if listeners want to learn more about Wildlife Services, an agency completely out of control, check out my interview with Tim Rehm with Center for Biological Diversity on June 15th, 2014. Go to the website www.animalstodayradio.com, animalstodayradio.com. Camila, in the last few minutes, let's turn to bobcats, in California specifically. Is trapping of these beautiful felines legal?
Unfortunately, it is legal in many, many U.S. states. Most people are just like wildlife killing contests. They are absolutely shocked to find out that trapping wildlife, including bobcats, is legal for the commercial fur trade. And bobcats in particular are feeding an insatiable international fur trade where they're shipped to Russia and China to be made into coats and fur trim, and their pelts at international auction now get upward of $1,200 per pelt. Mm. So there's a huge incentive to go after these animals. And so in California, Governor Jerry Brown in 2013 passed and signed into law the Bobcat Protection Act. And what this act did was it closes certain regions around national parks, state parks, national preserves, wildlife refuges to bobcat trapping. It essentially creates these buffer zones where bobcats cannot be trapped. What we're trying to do is to press that even further, to call for a complete ban on bobcat trapping. Thankfully, we had the support of several of our Fish and Game commissioners, who have at least expressed support for it. We don't necessarily have their vote yet, but they have expressed support publicly. And right now we are trying to, through a grassroots endeavor, we are trying to pressure those commissioners to really vote for that complete ban so that California becomes a state where we're not trapping our bobcats for the international fur trade.
Where can my listeners learn more about the wonderful work of Project Coyote?
They can visit us at projectcoyote.org, O-R-G. And I'll mention, too, that we're just about to launch a new website with a lot more resources and information. But people can go there and they can sign up for our e-team and get more informed about the issues that I've just mentioned and join our pack.
Camila Fox, thank you.
Thank you so much, Lori. Great to be on your show.
Here's the problem. Security systems are expensive and you pay month after month for peace of mind. Well, forget about it. The solution? the Activator security system, the Spy versus Spy. This recently declassified military technology is awesome. You plug the Activator into any wall outlet of your house, and listen to this, in 30 seconds, it scans your house. It knows every window, every floor, every door. It's like, Scotty, put the shields up. Your house now has shields. Then you plug in a light, a stereo, a tele, anything that will turn on when someone touches the door or the window. Anybody touches at port of entry of your house, your doors, your window, whatever you've plugged into the security system, the Activator turns on. Imagine that. The guy's rattling your door. The lights turn on. The stereo turns on. Where do you think that guy's going? He's out of there. Also, when you come home late at night, put your own key in the door, the light turns on for you. It stays on for 3 minutes, and then you don't touch it. It starts to secure you. First, it welcomes you home, and then it secures you. No codes to put in, no monthly fees to pay. The Activator security system's your solution. Normally, the Activator security system's $80, but today, the deal of the week, $59.99. You heard me right. Also, the first 50 callers, we're going to get a second one for free. You buy one, you get one free. That's $160 worth of stuff, still only $59.99. Call 1-888-877-0490. That's 1-888-877-0490. Or go to mycoolgadgets.com. That's mycoolgadgets.com. So call right now, 1-888-877-0490, and ask for your two Activators, buy one, get one free, still only $59.99. MyCoolGadgets.com.
Inventors, how would you like to have your product or invention featured on My Cool Inventions Radio? I'm going to tell you how. Hi, everybody. John Creamans here. We'd love to see you in San Diego at the Response Expo at the Hilton San Diego Bayfront from April 21st to the 23rd. We're going to be talking to all of the inventors that have been amassed for this incredible show. Response Expo is the only place to gain access to the brightest leaders in direct, digital, and data-driven marketing. Response Expo is your gateway to top marketers, networks, even agencies, and service providers. You can be with us here live on My Cool Inventions Radio. You can meet us in person. We even have a way for you to get into the hall free. To get a hall badge, all you have to do is go to responseexpo.com. That's responseexpo.com. Register for a hall badge and then put in the promo code INVENT15. That's INVENT15. And you put that in the promo code, you'll actually get a free hall badge. Check it out. Meet us at the Response Expo April 21st through the 23rd in San Diego.
Here's the problem. Home security systems are expensive and you pay month after month for peace of mind. Well, forget about it. The Activator security systems, recently Spy versus Spy, recently declassified military technology, and it's so easy to use. You take the Activator, you plug it into any wall outlet of your house, and in 30 seconds, it maps out your house. It knows every door, every floor, every window. It's like, Scotty, put the shields up. You plug a light into it, lights will turn on, stereos will turn on. It's the most awesome item. Normally, the Activator security system sells for $80, but today, $59.99, and the first 50 callers are going to get a second one for free. That's two Activators, still only $59.99. Call 1-888-877-0490. That's 1-888-877-0490, or go to mycoolgadgets.com.
Do you got any ideas?
I have a great idea.
Pitch it to me. Pitch it to me.
Hey, I got an idea.
Well, let's hear it.
Successful businesses start with great ideas and cool inventions. Hi, everybody. I'm John Creamans, the Doctor of Shopology. Join me and ACOS the Solutionist on My Cool Inventions every week. We continue our ongoing search for America's top invention. You can be the next one. Together, both ACOS and myself provide over 60 years of experience in the industry of inventing products and presenting them on shopping channels worldwide. Every show, we give our advice on how to successfully produce your product. Along with great information and featured industry guests, you'll also get a chance to listen to the inventors of some of the coolest inventions and vote on which projects you like. You be the shark. Now, if you have a $1 million idea in your head, submit it to us, and you can be selected to be on our show for your chance to be voted America's top invention. It's true reality radio, where you decide and regular American families like yours are lifted. One innovation, one inventor, one American.
You're listening to America's Talk Radio Network, where America talks.
today, there's news from New York State about devocalization, a cruel and unnecessary procedure often performed on dogs and cats. Legislation has now passed the Assembly to ban this procedure when performed for non-medical reasons. Assemblyman Kenneth Zebrowski, who introduced the bill, said, "This is a cruel and inhumane procedure that is being utilized to silence an animal's voice, and we must put an end to it." Those found in violation could face up to 90 days in jail or fines up to $500. Also, veterinarians could have their license revoked. Assemblyman Steve Katz, a veterinarian, also gave his strong support for the bill.
Devocalization. What does it mean? Why is it done? Is it legal? Taking away our pet's primary way of communicating to us, to each other, is that ethical? I mean, when my cats or dogs meow and bark, I know when they're happy to see me, excited to go on walks, having fun playing with me or the other animals. When they're in pain and something's wrong, when they're scared. I know when they want my love and attention, when they want a awareness of strangers nearby. I mean, to me, that's part of them. That's part of their wonderful personality and part of our relationship. That's what goes into the beautiful, incredible bond we form with our animals, doesn't it? Why would anyone ever want to take that ability away from their pet? Doesn't that seem cruel and inhumane?
Now, a few years ago, I spoke with Dr. Joel Wolfson about exactly what devocalization is and why it is unnecessary, painful, and simply cruel.
Dr. Wolfson, what is devocalization?
The procedure, dogs and cats, just like humans, have two vocal cords. And the devocalization procedure involves the nearly complete removal of both of the vocal cords.
So,
the medical term for that procedure is ventriculocordectomy.
Mm-hmm. And what some people know the term debarking, that I guess that would just refer to a dog.
Yeah, debarking is just sort of the term used commonly for the procedure. It's done in dogs and cats, so debarking is sort of a misnomer when you apply it
right,
to cats.
Right, right. Now, what is the surgery supposed to accomplish? Can they make any sound after the procedure? Can they whine? Can they whimper? Or are they completely silent?
Not completely silent. If the procedure works as it's supposed to, their bark is sort of a hoarse whisper kind of a sound rather than the true bark.
Mm.
Same for the meow. The procedure is often not successful and completely causing that, and there will be some degree of sound even after the procedure if it's not done radically.
Do you perform this procedure yourself?
No, I do not.
How commonly do you think the procedure is done?
It's very hard for me to say, but it's out there, and veterinarians are performing this procedure, and I can say that because I see many animals that have had it done. So how common, I don't know exactly.
Do students get trained in vet school to perform this procedure?
No, not to my knowledge.
Is there ever any medical reason to devocalize an animal?
Not specifically. The only time a procedure like this would be performed would be for a medical reason, would be if there's a polyp or tumor that involves that area. Sometimes there's a condition where the larynx doesn't function well and we need to alter it's opening for that reason.
Mm-hmm.
But that's totally a different story than this. This is not a medical issue.
Correct. Are there complications associated with this procedure?
Yeah, very much so.
Can you?
As you might expect, if you think about your own throat, certainly there's postoperative pain and discomfort, but bleeding and swelling after the procedure can occur, usually minor, but in some cases that can cause serious problems. Another complication that can result from the altered laryngeal function is that food and water and saliva can actually pass into the larynx, get into the lungs, and cause aspiration pneumonia. That's a life-threatening condition. But the most common and serious complication is the formation of scar tissue at the surgical site. We refer to this as web formation. And when this occurs, the dog or cat experiences difficulty getting air into their lungs.
Hmm.
You don't have to be a doctor to know that that that's a horrible way to live,
right.
Struggling to get air just to survive. And anyone with asthma or chronic lung disease would certainly relate to that.
What kind of individuals, Dr. Wolfson, or for what reasons do people approach a vet wanting this procedure done to their pet?
Bottom line, it's done for the convenience of the owner. It's important to realize, as we mentioned, it's not a medical issue. The devocalization is usually requested by people who are annoyed or inconvenienced by the sound their pet makes. In many cases, people who keep multiple dogs or cats, either as pets or for breeding purposes, feel the need to keep their group quieter. Also, many pit bulls that have been rescued from illegal dogfighting kennels are found to have been devocalized, and these debarked dogs, I assume, are easier for the criminals to hide.
Right, in underground pit bull fighting rings you're talking about.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Why would you think, Dr. Wolfson, veterinarians perform this procedure?
I think we should really be asking the ones who do it why they do it, and I can't speak for them. I don't have any data, but I believe the majority of veterinarians in America refuse to perform this procedure. And for those who do perform it, I think their most common argument is that they're doing it to keep the animal in the home and avoid having it euthanized, sort of the last resort argument. And, you know, to that I answer by saying there are a long list of options available to the person seeking to quiet their pet sounds, and we really shouldn't have vocal cord removal anywhere on that list, not even as a last resort, because it's inhumane and completely avoidable.
Thank you, sir. Can you briefly tell us a couple of the alternatives?
Yeah, I think I'm not a behaviorist, but certainly there are great behavioral modification techniques that involve positive reinforcement. There are humane and painless collars that dogs can wear that release a citronella spray when they bark, and that can decrease the barking. I think that and other options that are available include basically finding a home where the bark isn't a problem. I think that's very important, that when a pet owner gets a dog or a cat, I think they should realize that vocalization is a normal part of that creature's existence.
Dr. Wolfson, we appreciate you being here with us on Animals Today. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Hi, this is Dr. Lori Kirshner, and I want to thank you for listening to Animals Today. Make sure to visit us on animalstodayradio.com, where you will see all our previous shows and where you can download them free. That's animalstodayradio.com, or you can listen on iTunes. Also, make sure to like us on Facebook and join the discussion. Animals Today gets a lot of its support from the nonprofit group Advancing the Interests of Animals. Please visit them at aianimals.org. That's aianimals.org. And I hope you'll consider making a donation to help pay for the ongoing broadcast of Animals Today. Each week on Animals Today, we strive to bring you the highest quality, most up-to-date information about all animals, how we treat them, and their place in society, while promoting greater respect and kindness towards them. So thanks for your support. That website again is aianimals.org. And thanks for listening.
Beep, beep. Every day in the United States, tens of thousands of puppies and kittens are born. Unfortunately, there aren't enough homes for all these cats and dogs. One unfixed female cat and her offspring can be the source of more than 400,000 cats in 7 years. One female dog and her unfixed offspring can produce about 67,000 puppies. Too many cats and dogs are unwanted anywhere by anybody, so they end up being neglected or abandoned. Millions of healthy pets are killed in shelters annually in the U.S. on average. 70% of the animals that enter the shelter end up getting euthanized. Fortunately, there is good news. There's a new answer to this dilemma. We can help to stop killing these animals by having our pets spayed or neutered. If you want a new pet, how about adopting one? You can rescue a cat or dog and save a life.
This message is sponsored by Advancing the Interests of Animals. You can check them out at AIAnimals.org. That's the letter A, I, animals.org.
This is Dave Shistokas with some very important information for business owners and nonprofit managers in the U.S. Gulf Coast area. Were you in operation at the time of the BP oil spill in April 2010? There's a very short period until June 8th to file a claim in the BP settlement. There are misunderstandings about the settlement. Organizations located well inland, unrelated to tourism or hospitality, are eligible, and there's no need to show that the oil spill was related to their damages. There's no dollar limits on claims to be paid under the settlement. BP is legally bound to pay all valid claims. Call me, Dave Shistokas, for a free evaluation of your potential claim at 312-451-5550. Any claim not filed by June 8th will be gone forever. There's no cost to find out about your eligibility at 312-451-5550 or visit shistokas.com for more. It's S-H-E-S-T-O-K-A-S.com. It takes time to properly prepare a claim, so quick action is critical.
Do you got any ideas?
I have a great idea.
Pitch it to me.
Hey, I got an idea.
Well, let's hear it.
Successful businesses start with great ideas and cool inventions. Hi, everybody. I'm John Cremins, the Doctor of Shopology. Join me and ACOS, the Solutionist, on My Cool Inventions every week. We continue our ongoing search for America's top invention. You could be the next one. Together, both ACOS and myself provide over 60 years of experience in the industry of inventing products and presenting them on shopping channels worldwide. Every show, we give our advice on how to successfully produce your product. Along with great information and featured industry guests, you'll also get a chance to listen to the inventors of some of the coolest inventions and vote on which projects you like. You be the shark. Now, if you have a $1 million idea in your head, submit it to us, and you can be selected to be on our show for your chance to be voted America's top invention. It's true reality radio, where you decide and regular American families like yours are lifted one innovation, one inventor, one American at a time.
Here's the problem. Nail polish, hair dye, graffiti, tar. How do you get those stains out? Use Stains Are Out. Any stain, anywhere. Nail polish, oil, lipstick, pet stains, old stains, any stains. This will get your stain out. In fact, if it doesn't get your stain out, we'll buy the bottle back from you. Made with natural banana oil, oil from the skin of a banana, biodegradable and organic. Stains Are Out is the solution. Pour it on and get your stain out. Normally, bottle of Stains Are Out sells for $29.99. Hyper concentrated, each bottle will make 16 bottles of stain remover. $29.99 for 16 bottles of dilution. And here's the deal. If you buy a bottle of Stains Are Out right now, we'll give you 3 bottles. That's 48 bottles worth. That's the deal. Buy one, get 3 bottles for $29.99. Call 1-888-877-0490 or go to mycoolgadgets.com.
Inventors, how would you like to have your product or invention featured on My Cool Inventions Radio? I'm going to tell you how. Hi, everybody. John Cremins here. We'd love to see you in San Diego at the Response Expo at the Hilton San Diego Bayfront from April 21st to the 23rd. We're going to be talking to all of the inventors that have been amassed for this incredible show. Response Expo is the only place to gain access to the brightest leaders in direct, digital, and data-driven marketing. Response Expo is your gateway to top marketers, networks, even agencies, and service providers. You can be with us here live on My Cool Inventions Radio. You can meet us in person. We even have a way for you to get into the hall free. To get a hall badge, all you have to do is go to responseexpo.com. That's responseexpo.com. Register for a hall badge and then put in the promo code INVENT15. That's INVENT15. And you put that in the promo code, you'll actually get a free hall badge. Check it out. Meet us at the Response Expo, April 21st through the 23rd.
You're listening to America's Talk Radio Network, where America talks.
Did you know that 45 years ago this month, the first celebration of Earth Day took place? That's right. Each year, Earth Day, an event that promotes environmental protection and awareness and promotes and advocates for action, is celebrated and commemorated around the world. Now, Earth Day was established in 1970, marking the beginning of the modern environmental movement in the United States. This was at the height of the hippie movement, and some people, young and old, were waking up to the reality that the actions of Americans, with their big cars and the factories polluting the air and water, posed a huge threat to the environment. Even with the 1962 publication of the eye-opening book by Rachel Carson, Silent Spring, the environmental movement was still weak as the decade drew to a close, and most Americans were actually not as concerned about the environmental issues as they are today. Two figures were key in the birth of Earth Day. Earth Day was first proposed in San Francisco by John McConnell in 1969 at the National UNESCO Conference. McConnell, a Christian, believed that humans had an obligation to take care of the Earth and to share its resources equally. He wanted Earth Day to be a celebration of life on Earth and a reminder to people to preserve and renew the ecological balances upon which all life depends. Almost at the same time, Senator Gaylord Nelson envisioned a day of teaching about environmental concerns, and he hoped that other politicians would come to understand that there was growing public support for environmental issues. Most sources now credit Nelson, who received the Presidential Medal of Freedom Award in 1995, as the founder of Earth Day, although the name Earth Day was coined by McConnell. An estimated 20 million people participated in that first Earth Day on April 22, 1970, mainly in the form of protests and demonstrations. And how it has grown from there. Earth Day led to the creation of the Environmental Protection Agency and the passage of the Clean Air, Clean Water, and Endangered Species Acts. Today, Earth Day is celebrated in nearly every country with over 1 billion participants. However, there are no more street riots or protests. It has become predominantly an internet-based operation, the Earth Day Network, and it has expanded into Earth Week with a budget in the millions of dollars. The Earth Day Network campaign, called A Billion Acts of Green, describes itself as an international movement to protect the planet and secure a sustainable future. And if you go to earthday.org, you will see the various actions you can take to help achieve these goals, like reducing energy consumption, stopping the use of disposable plastic, buying local produce, and reducing your footprint, as well as the suggestion to eat less meat. Now, this is especially appropriate because many of you are aware of an incredibly negative impact on the environment that goes along with modern agriculture and especially modern factory farming of meat and poultry. And with the California water crisis upon us, more and more people are learning for the first time the vast amounts of water needed to produce meat compared to what is needed to grow plants that we could eat and should eat instead. Like, it takes over 400 gallons of water to produce 1 pound of edible beef. Actually, I would like to see the Earth Day treatment of diet go further than it does. They do suggest vegetarian diet, but the vegan diet is not emphasized. I believe the single most powerful thing you can do as an individual act for the environment, for Mother Earth, and of course for the animals, is just go adopt a vegan lifestyle. It does much more good for the Earth than switching to a hybrid vehicle, or using low-flow toilets, or weather-stripping your house. Things like that are okay, but you do so much more to conserve water, to pollute the earth less, and to decrease your carbon footprint by being vegan. Also, I would love to see much more active opposition to animal cruelty on the Earth Day website. So it's Earth Day's 45th birthday. I hope you will reflect a bit about what you can do to protect the Earth and all its inhabitants. And I wonder what Earth Day will look like 45 years from now. This is Dr. Lori Kirshner, and I want to thank you for joining us on Animals Today. Each week, we explore the wide variety of new and important issues concerning the welfare and rights of animals, how people treat them, and where they fit in society. From whale protectors risking their own lives on the open seas, to lawmakers fighting to pass legislation to assist animals, to kids volunteering at their local shelter, Animals Today provides timely and in-depth analysis and interviews with experts and advocates from around the world. To listen, join us every week on this station, listen on iTunes, or go to animalstodayradio.com, where you can access and listen to all the prior shows. And like us on Facebook and share your views. Much of our financial support comes from the nonprofit group Advancing the Interests of Animals. That's aianimals.org. So check them out. This is Dr. Lori, and thanks for listening. Animals Today Radio is made possible in part by a generous grant from International Society for Animal Rights, ISARonline.org.